everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Back on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you 20 years of ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. You know, one of the things that we all struggle with throughout our lives and we have a great deal of problem with is being in control. Control is a very, very important issue. You hate it when somebody's in control of you. You don't like it when you are not in control. It's true, right? You don't need it. Question is the following. What is it that's so important about control? What is so important? What do we need to know about it? It starts off in early childhood. You know, when you're a kid, the first thing you're taught, you get applauded for. What do you get applauded for? Being in control, right? Right. You're in your diapers, right? And if you could go to the bathroom, if you could actually pee on your own, they celebrate you. Look at this. They have a party in your honor. You are in control. Being in control means you can control your bowels. In fact, isn't it one of the most embarrassing things in the world to lose control? Like, you know, suddenly lose control to, I don't even want to talk about it. And it just happens, you know, when you can't get home in time or something. Embarrassment. When you think about embarrassment, you always think about loss of control on some level. So from early on, we are taught to be in control. A very difficult thing to do since we're lively, vibrant babies who are just filled with energy. And they're telling you, control your energy. Control it. Keep it under control. Sit proper. Be nice. Exactly. Well, we celebrate this. In fact, they give rewards to children who get the most control. If you've gone to school every day, you get a red stamp. No, what were those? We used to get gold stars for attendance. I mean, in my case, we got gold stars for even staying awake. The school was amazing. I mean, nobody really went. But attendance, you get a thing called the dean's list, right, for being good in school, which means exercising control. That means studying the way your parents say. And then they teach you things. They tell you to go practice piano. And now you're in control of the piano keys, and you can play piano. And we admire that in musicians. And we admire if you play cello and you could play it fairly well. We admire the control you have. In fact, when we listen to musicians, we say things like, listen to that control. My gosh, this is a big deal, control, isn't it? When you think about the absence of control, we talk about losing control. And it's almost like nobody wants to do it, you would imagine, right? Not true. Certain people love to lose control. That's why you drink. That's why you get stoned. That's why you do most of the drugs that free your mind from the restrictions of the controls. So drugs, alcohol, how about music? The best concert in the world is a concert you go to where you are just completely taken out of control by the music and the pyrotechnics and everything else that takes place, and you dance like crazy. Can you take me out of control? One of the things that we find very attractive in mates, you know, if you feel like you're over-controlled, you look for a mate who could sweep you out of control. Come on, don't you dare stay there. I'm going to take you where I want to take you. I'll take you on the voyage of discovery that you're afraid of. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about control today, the issue of control, and how it affects you. Habits. We get habits, and we want to know how to control our habits. There are habits we don't like. Few things are more difficult than kicking a bad habit and developing a positive one. Bad habits, and I'm using that from your perspective, habits that you don't like smoking, overeating, or the habit of self-criticism, they shorten your life and they lead to a sense of underachievement. By contrast, good habits create a kind of success autopilot. Hold on a second. We're getting a little... Oh, hey, stay with me a second, my friends. I'll be right back. Now, back in control. Here we are again. What a funny thing. We have so many funny things happen here every day. It's amazing. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. In contrast, if you want to replace a bad habit, how do you do it? They say replace a bad habit with a good one. Completely eliminating a habit is much harder than replacing it with a more productive one. Studies of people who compulsively bite their nails. Want to know how to unbite your nails? Start getting manicures. So you do the very same thing, but the manicures kind of, in a strange way, take place of it. There are a lot of people who go to meetings, and they can't help talking at meetings, and they become compulsive. So you try to replace it with highly attentive listening. You learn attentive listening. Exercise. Now, we talk about another form of control, which nowadays, and it's just happened over the last 50 years. Who ever heard of exercise? Right, 100 years ago, do you think they said, oh, you better exercise? 200 years ago, exercise. What a silly concept. You mean walk from your farm to down to the end of your farm? That would take you 2 days. Right, there's exercise. Exercise, everything you did. So exercise is a concept, but now it's a concept we use to control our bodies, to control our muscles, to control us, and bring us to a point that we want to be at. So exercise has become the new way out of bad habits. You exercise instead, and you do exercise, all right. Smokers who start becoming exercise people as they exercise, they wind up find it easier to give up the addiction of the tobacco. Reward success is very important. It's very important that whenever you make a thing, like if you get through a whole day without smoking a cigarette, you need to reward the success. Now, this is saying the following thing in the nature of our show today. You are controlling something that makes you feel out of control, an impulse. Why should we do it? Why don't you just do what you want to do? You know what I mean? Why don't you just feel the way you want to feel, be the way you want to be? Because sometimes it doesn't work with everybody around you, and sometimes it doesn't work for yourself as well. Because sometimes we automatically do things based on some major fear. Like, for example, the fear of losing control. People have this great fear of losing control. What is a fear of losing control? Let's look at it. It starts off as a panic attack. Panic attack. A horrible, a terrifying experience. But it's not in any sense dangerous. Panic disorder is actually an entirely natural body reaction that's occurring out of context. That's all it is. A panic attack is a natural body reaction, panic. But it's out of context. If you were going to get eaten by a dinosaur, right, tomorrow morning on your way to work, it'd be good to have a panic attack because then you run away. But because it's out of context, the reaction, which is a normal reaction, is no longer a normal reaction. That's what a panic attack. When we feel our survival is somewhat threatened, Every mammal will have an instinctual response to either fight or flee. The response produces a sudden surge of adrenaline, accompanied by strong feelings of anxiety and panic and a very intense urge to get away or escape the situation or circumstance. When you have a panic attack, that's what you're doing. Your eyes are looking, how do I get away? How do I get away? Can I get away? That's the look of panic. It's interesting that the intensity of the reaction and the strong urge to flee are things that would ensure your survival if you were truly in danger. So if you woke up in the middle of a fire, a panic attack would probably, if it didn't freeze you, it would probably get you out of there. The flow of adrenaline and the resulting extra blood flow increases your strength and awareness of the danger. This extra awareness of the perceived danger may cause you all sorts of feelings like dizziness, nausea, hyperventilation, heart palpitations, confusion, unreality, being dazed, shaking, trembling, sweaty palms. This is what it's like to have a panic attack. During a panic attack, your body goes through the same physical process as if you were in real danger. And because of these feelings of panic, it's very common to invent or attribute danger to the accompanying body symptoms. For example, when you start feeling panic, you say, I'm going to have a heart attack. But it's not true. You're not going to have a heart attack. So the mind increases the panic by threatening you with some body reaction. For example, I'm going crazy is what some people say. No one with a panic attack and anxiety has ever gone crazy. You don't go crazy from panic attacks. In fact, because you realize that you have panic attacks, it's another indication that you're not going crazy. People that go crazy lose contact with reality. Anxiety people are too much in contact with reality, you see. They have too much contact, so it's the absence of going crazy. Thus, people with panic and anxiety problems never go crazy. It just can't happen. But it feels like it. When you're wigged out. Wait, I want to look across the board here. Hold on a second. Heather, have you ever heard that expression? You did, okay. I just didn't know if that... I'm being assisted today by Heather, who works with us. I wondered if wigged out was one of our old words. Another thing that happens to you when you feel like you're losing control is you feel like you're going to pass out. Now, losing control could mean you could feel violently angry at somebody, or you could feel in love. You know what I mean? I mean, I know a woman was describing to me, she met this man for the first time, and her head was swimming, and she was feeling nervous and panicky, and she was just completely overwhelmed. She was having a huge sexual response to this guy that she saw, and trembling, and she just had this, like, automatic chemical reaction to him. And she felt like she was going to pass out. Temporary dizziness leads people with panic to feel that they may pass out. It's not possible because during panic, your heart beats faster, your blood pressure raises. It doesn't drop, so you're not going to pass out. It becomes impossible for you to pass out. When people faint or pass out, it's because of a sudden drop in blood pressure. So panic attack will not make you pass out, but it'll make you think you're going to pass out. The one about the heart attack is interesting. When the heart begins to beat quickly and people experience palpitations, they feel like a heart attack is coming. In the first place, the heart can beat quickly and continuously for a long period of time without causing any damage. And although heart palpitations seem to occur in the left side of the chest, there are many differences between panic attacks and a real heart attack. During a real heart attack, the primary symptom is a crushing sensation inside the chest and a pain that is continuous. During a panic attack, the attention is focused on the quick and rapid beating of the heart itself. I can hear my heart beating. Well, of course. Good for you. It's not a heart attack. There's crushing internal pain with a real heart attack. The other thing about people having panic attacks is they talk about, I'll stop breathing and suffocate. Now, it's a funny thing because, you know, you get a feeling like you can't catch your breath. That happens with hyperventilation. With hyperventilation, you build up the carbon dioxide in your body because you're not expelling enough of it. And you get a feeling like you're suffocating. And they have a feeling they will suffocate, but it's impossible because you cannot pass out and suffocate. It feels like because your mixture of oxygen and carbon dioxide in your bloodstream is out of proportion. That's why you feel lightheaded. In a few minutes, as the body calms down, breathing returns to normal, and nobody ever suffocated to death from a panic attack. I'm losing control. Now, there's the other one. Experiencing many anxiety symptoms all at once can cause a person to feel that they're losing control of themselves. Sometimes the fear is of acting nervous and foolish in public. Now, this foolish in public thing is a big deal. There are so many people in the world who are worried about how they will appear in public. Not just how they appear to themselves, how they appear in public. Agoraphobia, which is fear of angora sweaters. No, which is a fear of open spaces. Which is the fear of not being able to get home in time, includes in it this kind of feeling of panic, this feeling of I'm going to embarrass myself in public. Well, who cares if you embarrass yourself in public once in a while? Who cares? You're alive. Because it's real, the brain is being tricked into thinking that you're somehow in real danger and you're not. Active, cognitive kind of approach is a real decent way of treating panic attacks. Panic attacks no longer have to be something that cripple you. Now, another thing about trying to be in control all the time, my friends, is that it is going to eventually get to you. It's going to get to you. Because when you control yourself, what you do is you try to control others. Think about perfectionism. Perfectionism is such a terrible thing. Perfectionism can be rewarding, but it comes at a large price. Have you ever wondered why some of your colleagues appear to be immune to criticism, unwilling to change their minds, never able to admit a mistake, unwilling to... They have trouble making decisions, even small ones, or act as though they are in control all the time. You ever meet anybody like that? You may be dealing with an obsessive personality. The obsessive personalities have a fear of making errors. Here's the way they do. They have a fear of making a wrong decision or choice. They have a strong devotion to work. They have a need for order or firmly established routine. They have a need to know and follow all the rules. They have an emotional guardedness, like they can't be touched deeply. They have an inclination to worry, ruminate, or doubt. They're cautious. They have a chronic inner pressure to use every minute productively. What are we trying to control, my friends? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. How has the need for control cost you in your life? What are you trying to control? What is it you're afraid of? Sometimes you're just afraid of your own rage. Sometimes you're afraid that your anger is going to come out and it's going to hurt somebody else. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. I'd like to hear from you today. I'd like to hear from you about your own need to control and what it's like and what it's cost you. Maybe you like it, controlling other people. You know, very, very difficult. One of the difficult things about being a boss, having a place that you run, is that there's a certain number of controls that you hope you get from people. You know, you hope you have, but you can't use them. You can't exercise them because you just can't control everybody. They're going to do what they want to do. You can't control every situation. but you can be in control of your thoughts in response to a situation. What we believe, we perceive, and what we perceive affects our behavior. And how we behave has consequences. In situations over which we have no control, we can control our stress level by managing ourselves, by managing our breathing, and again, our reactions. We cannot control how other people perceive us, nor can we control their behaviors. People will feel what they want to feel, and they'll react the way they want to react. Many people suffer from common phobias, snakes, dogs, needles, spiders, mice. When you're having a panic attack and you're feeling this kind of horrible panic attack and nobody understands it, here's what you could do. Ask someone what they're most afraid of. Hey, Heather, you got a major fear? You got like a creepy, crawly fear? You got one? Right? Cockroaches. Well, cockroaches. All right, good. Yeah, I grew up with them myself. I shouldn't even talk about them, right? I shouldn't talk about them on air. The biggest longing survivors. I mean, amazing survivors, cockroaches. You're working now with the American History of... They have cockroaches all over the place. No, 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 but not live ones. They have them in scarabs, and they have, oh, they're real honored things. So cockroaches, right? If you wanted to know what a panic attack is, try to imagine a million cockroaches in your room, and that's it. You got it right there. If you're afraid of mice, you want to know what a panic attack is, imagine a million mice. Imagine being with snakes, you know? Control what you... Now, another thing that people who are trying to control things do is they self-medicate. You self-medicate with food and with drink, with smoke, with alcohol. You're trying to change your chemistry. That makes a lot of sense. You know, it really does make a lot of sense. Here, have a little tea, sit down. I think that's what the English did, you know, afternoon tea. It was meant to, you know, calm down. Don't even talk anymore. You know, just shut up for a half hour and have some tea and crumpets. You know, relax, and then go back to your work. But yet, you know, when you think about what you put in your body, they only work temporarily, and some of them increase anxiety. Like people who take a drink to go to sleep. The alcohol has its own way that it works on you, that it actually keeps you awake later. Realize that if you've tried to get over a fear without success, you may be judging yourself for this failure. You know, you can be kind to yourself. Wisdom is controlling what you can control and letting go of what you can't. You know, that's what they say in the 10-step programs. Let it go. Let it go. Let go and let God, they say. Which means, you know, turn it over to a higher power. So the next thing we could do, my friends, and this is it. I mean, after our break, we're going to be taking your calls. Control and emotions. Let's talk about that. You know what a lot of people, you know what almost all arguments are about with couples, Heather? Let me tell you. Almost every couple who comes into my office, when they're arguing that the man or the woman is saying, I don't want you to have the emotion that you have. I don't want you to feel the feeling that you have. So the control is over the emotion that the other person has. I want you to love me. I want you to feel sexual towards me. I want you to do this. I want you to feel this way. I don't want you to feel bad. If a person says to you, tell me the truth, do you really like what I'm wearing? Well, I'll lie to you so you won't, you know, you won't feel bad. But we spend too much time trying to control other people's emotions. Your mother was hysterical. You tried to calm her down. Forget it. That job you don't have anymore. The known factors that influence emotions is you understand that life is not always fair, that there are good feelings and bad feelings, that they're appropriate to go through. They don't have to be canceled. You know that fear and anger make people react impulsively, but they're also valid. people could feel them. To remain under control, you have to have your kind of own set of ethics. You have to use intelligence to overpower these instant reactions. Now, reactivity is a big deal when it comes to controlling emotions. Because I think, in a way, we do have to exercise our control over our emotions. Because they're huge. Huge. You can get so mad, you can get so screamed, you can get so heartbroken. So we want to exercise some control over our emotions. And how do we do it? Number one, watch for reactions. If your reaction is too spontaneous, and it's always too spontaneous, try to slow it down. Try to say to yourself, whatever reaction I'm having right now, I'm not going to respond. Here's a good one I learned for myself. Never write notes. Now, I used to write notes or send emails to people when I would respond to something they said or did. And I would find I would just zip off a note and just send it off to them, people I worked with. And one day somebody came to me with a collection of the notes that I had written. And I read them. And there must have been 60 of them or 70 of them. They were horrible. I never wrote another note. They were just, you know, quick notes. It's like email notes. It's like text messaging. Got to be careful with what you say. So I learned to inhibit my responses. If you can, take any situation to which you feel reactive and give it time when you're away from the situation. Don't just talk it over with people. See how you feel about it. You know, I have somebody who works with me who is just genuine star. And she said to me she had to move on to do other things. And my reaction was, oh, how could you do that to me? How could you do that to me at first? And then my secondary reaction was, I'm so glad for you that you're doing what you want. And I'm so happy for you that you're doing what you want. I really am. I mean, first of all, most of all, I care about your well-being. You know, but my reaction, how could anybody do that to me? When urges occur, do not act impulsively. Let little things go. Give in before little things escalate. If somebody's got a small issue, give up. It's just small. Remain calm when you're confronted. Say no or yes to yourself when it's the best thing to say. Remain under control when supervision is removed. If there's somebody above you who's no longer there, try to see what it's like to use your own controls as opposed to just depending on them. And when you have to confront somebody, try to see what it's like to confront somebody in a calm, courteous, collaborative way, as opposed to just violently oppositional, the way most people know to go in. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to be back with you in a little bit. We're going to take a short break, talking more about control, and we're going to take your breaks at your phone calls at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Let me just think now. We're going to be with you today and tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we've got a special offer we're going to be making to you. So we're going to have a small, mini, two-day fun drive to make up for some of the slack here at the station. But we will be, that'll be on Wednesday. No, that'll be on Thursday only. Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll do normal programming. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes, my friends.
Yo, this is G-Love on WBAI, New York, New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
You're listening to Kali, K-A-L-I. Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're talking about the need to control things. There are certain people that just feel like they have to keep things under control. These are usually, you know, they call them the type A personality. Don't want to depend on anybody else. The number one, fear of depending on anybody else. You know, there are a lot of people who have this fear. I'm afraid to depend on people. What's so terrible about depending on people? I want to make sure I'm in charge. You know, like, for example, many of the people I know who are controlling people, they join, they start businesses. But when they start a business, they put a heavy burden on themselves to run everything. And so they don't let go of anything. You know, they have to be in control of every aspect of everything. And it's the old fortune cookie that said, a boss works three times as hard for twice the money. So, you know, you wind up doing triple jobs. Well, you could have just worked a double shift, you know, and you're in control all the time. Intimacy becomes a problem for controlling people. Are you in control if you have somebody who does everything you want? And if you're in control, are you intimate? Are you close? Is there real love there? Or is it there's only love as long as that person stays in control? The average person who is a control person doesn't want anybody to know how much stress they're under. And they don't. And they don't like to let people know it. But the stress can be enormous. Enormous. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let's hear what you have to say about this. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Hi. I called you about a week ago. We got disconnected, unfortunately. But I had called regarding my wife. We've been married for 13 years. And she, back in July, had stated that she wanted a divorce from me. And we have two children, 8 and 6 years old. But I'm staying hard and trying to keep the house intact and, you know, the kids in their house. But every once in a while, she'll bring up the fact she wants a divorce and never go follow through on it. Like, she'll say she'll give me papers and never does. It just seems like to me like she's trying to have control over, you know, the situation. So I just don't know how to go about it. I'm just trying to keep the house, the kids in their home, and keep the family running as normal. But we don't have a bad relationship. We don't fight in front of the kids.
There's something going on that is not being addressed, and the two of you are lost in that.
Okay.
You know, and it's like you can't get there unless you get somebody else in the middle of it.
Right. And I tried to seek out therapy, and she went with me. And when she went with me, she finally told the therapist that she's not looking to work anything out. But now we live every day of our life, just the fact that, like, normal, like, nothing's going on. But when something gets stressed out, like bills or finances, you know, right away we need to sell the house, we need to separate. Blah, blah, blah.
What I think is the following. I hear you as a victim
of
your wife's irrationality.
Okay.
Whenever I hear that kind of situation, because she sounds so wrong that if I took a vote right now, everybody would say you're a saint and she's a sinner. So what we got to do is, I think, not with her, but you individually, need to look at this yourself.
Okay.
And that's what I think we should do. Instead of couples therapy, we're trying to control her emotions.
Right.
Let's take a look at what you may be bringing to the table.
Okay.
You know, and it's a good idea. You can meet with me on Thursday. I'm going to be offering a special thing through WBAI. Tune in on Thursday.
Okay.
And take advantage of that, and I'll meet with you myself.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, even the kids, like, you know, she'll totally be out of there. You know, she acts like she's the perfect mother, but in the same instance, I'm taking a lot of the role of just being mother and father all the time with them.
I know, like I said, you do sound pretty saintly.
Okay.
You know, and what's your name?
John.
John, I look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. And I hear that quite often. When I hear that somebody is so absolutely right and somebody else is so absolutely wrong, I just say we got to see another side of it. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Today is really amazing. You know, it's a perfect topic for what I'm going through. And the funny thing is I'm going to admit it, like, for the first time, you know, like you said. For me, I'm exactly what you described, almost most of those things you described about being a perfectionist and being in control and all of that. And I'm trying to change my life, my job, right, my livelihood. But I've been doing it for 25 years, so it's really hard. And just listening to the program today so far has already reinforced a couple of things in me, and I appreciate it.
Like what? What did it reinforce in you?
Well, about being, you know, not being, not having to be in control, to be in, you know, not knowing everything, not knowing all the answers, not knowing all the outcomes, being okay with the process, sort of, you know?
I'm always amazed when I meet somebody, and you talk to them, and you say to them, you know, if you ask a question, like this happened to me with policemen quite a bit. I ask a policeman, I'll say to him, oh, how do you get uptown, or where is the park going to be open? And the policeman looks at us very calmly and says, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I feel, but don't you know you're wearing a uniform and you're supposed to know everything? And I laugh at myself because he's comfortable enough to say, I don't know. You know, if only we would learn.
Right.
Right? To be able to say, I don't know.
The question I have for you is like, again, being a perfectionist and being a little anal about this, you know, I've done a lot of work on you know, this kind of stuff, isn't being totally accepting and not being in control a kind of an underhanded way of being in control? You know, isn't being totally accepting on a higher level, on another level, you're just being in control of that?
Sure, any extreme is, of course.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah, so
and nobody's advocating that you do that. Nobody's saying you should do that. But one of the ways...
A perfectionist will do it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And let me just make an admission, because I think this is important. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. And it's got me frozen. It has, I guess, with the economy. I guess I'm like a deer in headlights, you know. And I don't know. First time I'm admitting it, maybe to myself and to, you know, on the radio too, you know. So it's kind of hard, but I just don't know why I felt the need to do that.
Okay, well, good. Let me join you in that, okay?
Okay.
So let's say we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
We don't know what's happening in this world. There may be a whole bunch of people who have control of things, and they may know even more than we do, like what the price of oil is going to be. They probably know the price of oil for in February 17th of next year. They probably know it now. You know, but those are those guys. But now here's the question. If I don't know if the sun's going to shine, if I don't know if it's going to rain, if I don't know, can I be okay? And that's the real question. The real question is, if I don't know, can I be okay? And that's the one you're challenging today by putting it on the air. You know?
Yeah.
You're getting better.
Yeah.
You're getting much better. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's helpful.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about being in control, the need to be in control. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-20. Okay, so let's take a look at what is being in control of your emotions. Okay, one, not letting your urges, your good or bad one, take you over. That's being in control. Avoiding immediate reactions, but that doesn't mean you can't be spontaneous. Making conscious rather than emotional decisions. Using past experience, knowledge, and your intellect rather than just your feelings. And doing what is right or best, even when it is not what you feel like doing. That's being in control of your emotions, while at the same time not being in control. Let's take that call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Well, good afternoon to you, Armand. How are you doing today?
Good.
I am a perfectionist. I believe in life that everything requires hard work, and in order to get good at something, you require to work at it.
Oh, what a pity, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you must put a lot of energy out there.
Yes, I do. I am full of energy.
So maybe that's the reason you're a perfectionist, because you got so much energy. You know what I mean?
I see.
Maybe you're so full of energy that you've just got to put it somewhere. So you take your energy and you get it out there and you use it for something. And if you were on a beach, you probably would build sandcastles because you got to use that energy.
Correct.
Well, it's interesting to have energy dominate your life rather than energy be the fuel of your life.
I see. Because I believe everything has to be organized and be in order to be comfortable with my surrounding.
Sure, I understand. It's the way it feels. And for you, it feels if it's not in order, you're going to be uncomfortable. So you spend your time using all of this energy to reorganize everything. Which is what almost every animal in the world does, by the way, when it feels like it's under panic. You know, but what you need to do is to get 25 rolls of toilet paper, open them up, and throw them around your rooms, and let them fly, and let the paper fly everywhere. And then just sit in the middle of it as it covers everything like a little tent, and say, this is okay. I'm in a new kind of tent. And then you could re-roll it, of course, and rewrap it, which, as you would do, and use it when you need it.
Okay.
All right? So I'm saying to you, just because your energy commands you to do it, it doesn't mean it's the thing to do.
I see. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
The work I'm on.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. The importance to you of being in control of your emotions, if you could... You improve relationships. People feel comfortable around you if you're not controlling them. You relieve stress from yourself, from every situation. You use energy to accomplish things rather than just to keep spinning things out of, you know, reorganizing and reorganizing. You're having emotions taken seriously when you talk because people don't see the panic. It's the thing about people who are in panic when they talk emotionally, other people don't take them seriously. 212-209-2900, we're taking your calls. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Noelle.
Hello, Noelle.
Hi. I have had OCD and depression since childhood, and it's really crippled me. I've become very isolated socially. And I recently joined a 12-step group, Overeaters Anonymous, because I was using food, you know, to medicate. And it's helping me tremendously. However, I am terrified of sharing. You know, you're encouraged to share your experiences and your progress in the group. And it's a wonderful group, wonderful people. And I'm just terrified, like now just talking to you, I'm, you know, my heart's racing and everything.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so...
You know, Noelle, let me tell you something about this.
Okay.
The group that you're in
mm-hmm.
is wonderful for a reason other than what they are doing.
Right.
Part of the reason of why you have this OCD and you do it through food
okay.
is because you're an orphan. You don't have a family.
Right, that's right.
And I know you don't have a family.
That's right.
And so what you're trying to do is replace that family through the food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the things that these 12-step programs do is they offer you a substitute family.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is not what you share with them,
mm-hmm.
but the very fact that you just sit with this family.
Okay.
And you show up.
Okay.
All I ask you to do is show up.
Okay.
When you show up, you're going to feel the comfort of being with a new group of people.
Right.
And this orphan Noel,
yeah.
you know, will begin to belong to something.
Okay.
So take your time. Don't
okay.
no pressure on you.
Okay.
You know, this
okay.
is good for you.
Yes.
Thanks, Noel.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
To other people, it's so important for you to be in control of yourself. Nobody wants to be walking on eggs. You know what happens when people are afraid of you not being in control? They lie to you. The person who says, you know, if you look on a thing like Match.com, I'm told that the most biggest request is people say, I want somebody who won't lie to me, who could be truthful. Well, if you're asking that question, that means that you've had people lie to you and you've asked people to lie to you. Why do you ask people to lie to you? Because you overreact when they tell you the truth. if you say to them, do you like the way this looks? And they say, no, I don't like the way that looks. And then you get angry at them for calling you ugly, you know, because you don't like the way the dress looks. They're not going to tell you the truth from there on. So being in control of your emotions means that people will be more comfortable around you and they'll be more honest with you. So if you are not, let's say that your emotions control you, but you don't control them. And I'm not saying you should rigidly control and inhibit every emotion, but not to be afraid, you know, and not to be afraid to quell them. No overreactions. If people don't fear your response, they will talk to you. They will be more honest and more committed to you. And I think that's what we're looking for, or that's what we, at least we hope for. 212-209-2900. Let's grab another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Maria.
Hello, Maria.
Hi, I'm finally calling to your show.
So it's been, you've thought about calling many times?
A few times.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you called. Okay. I'm glad you got through. You feel nervous?
Yeah, a little.
Okay.
Yeah. You were talking about anxiety and obsessive compulsive and all that.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, it's hard to control. And I've been dealing with that for a period of time, many, many years. And it's been pretty well lately. I just recently got married a few months ago, less than 6 months ago. And sometimes I've been pretty calm lately, but every once in a while, you know, I freak out about something, and I'm afraid to freak him out, too. He's been taking it pretty well so far.
Well, let me ask you, what do you freak out about? Do you get jealous?
No, not with him, but, no, I've mostly been freaking out about money, like, because we're both struggling, and I don't know, then with the wedding and all that, and traveling, and started freaking out that we were going to run out of money, and we bought a car, that we were going to stay behind on the payments, and every week I will tell them, we have to sit and make a budget, and the poor thing, he would be like, oh, yeah, we'll do it, and then, you know, after a few weeks of doing it, I was like, I'm overreacting, we're fine, but, yeah, he was very nice, he understood that I was freaking out.
Well, it sounds like it's very painful to you. What you're going through is very painful. And it sounds like, even at this point, you have this feeling with him, and he's probably a lot looser than you are, so you may be picking up on something. You have to watch it for a while. And instead of saying to him what he should do, you might tell him, I'm scared. Just let him know, tengo miedo, you know? You like that,
yeah.
Huh? How I sneak that in?
Yeah.
Tell him I'm scared. Tengo miedo, because if you, I'm afraid that we're buying things, and I'm afraid that it's going to hurt us later. I'm afraid, and when you say don't be afraid, I would love to trust you and I would love to love you, but I don't see a solution.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So what I would want him to do is care about how scared you are. You know, let's only buy things when we have the money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Let's never buy forward.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I wish you a lot of luck, Marie. If you need help, be sure to call. We will stay with you. Now that you've called the radio station, you've become a free person.
Yes. Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. So in your own words, you might write this down. What does it mean to be in control of your emotions? You might write that down. Name and explain three things you would get from it. And now make a list of what you would do to start to not only exercise, but to achieve that level of control that you'd like to have. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Thank you so much for being with us, my friends. Be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Special thanks to all of you out there and to you, Maria. Best to you.
On Wednesday, September 23rd, WBAI will convene its quarterly Community Advisory Board meeting in compliance with the Federal Communications Commission and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Community Advisory Board requirements. The meeting will be held in WBAI Studios located at 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, at 7:30 p.m. The meeting is an opportunity for the listening community to apply for Community Advisory Board membership, and it is open to the public. For reservation and more information about Wednesday's Community Advisory Board meeting, please call WBI's Interim Manager, Lavon Williams, at area code 510-333-9902. That number again is 510-333-9902. And make sure you bring a picture ID. Thank you.
Hi, this is Delphine Blue inviting you to join me every Tuesday night here on WBAI at 99.5 FM for Shocking Blue from 9 until 11 p.m. That's every Tuesday night right here on member-supported WBAI New York at 99.5 FM.
Hi, this is Teokas and Ghost Tours inviting you to a rare event on October 4th, the first Voices We Must Listen, a benefit for the Lakota people who are experiencing the highest rates of suicide in the country. 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. October 4th at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, where the Long Island Friends of WBAI, Changing Winds, and the Lakota Foundation will present a Sunday morning of ceremony, breakfast, music by Ghost Tours, traditional Lakota dance, the recent film Wounded Knee, and a discussion regarding the state of Native peoples and how you can help. First Voices, We Must Listen, on October 4th, a Sunday morning, at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. For tickets, 800-383-3006. Again, 800-383-3006, or log on to cinemaartscenter.org.
And you are tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, and WBAI.org. Good afternoon. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide weekday afternoons. Coming up next will be the Arts Magazine Talkback with Hugh Hamilton at 3 o'clock, Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen at 5 p.m., and the Evening News at 6 p.m. Upcoming in just a moment will be the Arts Magazine. Do stay tuned.
On WBAI 99.5 FM, the Caldwell Chronicle is on the air. I'm Earl Caldwell. Tune in for our broadcast every Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. right here on listener-supported Pacifica Radio in New York City.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.